Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The landmark race against time and terrorism close to home, also known as 24, comes back Sunday night after the Super Bowl. Just like its mothership, 24 Legacy on Fox promises a hard-on-the-edge adventure. Executive producer, co-creator, writer Manny Coto joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from Atlanta. Also on our radar, A&E's new soccer play, Univision Blackout Day 2, No More Clue, and it's Facebook TV Around Your Bend. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you aboard on this February 2nd for the program All About Television. 45 degrees, high temperature here in New York at the top of the hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a call from you. Here's the number to use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. Chat room is open as well. SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. Manny Coto from 24 Legacy live with us from Atlanta after these news notes. Live sports will be back on Lifetime this April for the first time since WNBA games 2 decades ago. Saturday afternoon games of the National Women's Soccer League, featuring key members of the USA National, World Cup, and Olympic teams, will play on Lifetime through September. The deal runs to 2019, with Lifetime coming in as NWSL sponsor and Parent A&E Network as equity stakeholder. The league has 10 teams operating around the country. We're in day two of the Univision Charter Spectrum standoff, with Spectrum cable customers unable to watch Univision, Unimas, Galavision, LA Network, and other Spanish-language channels. Talks to bring about a new carriage agreement are also at a standstill. Another NBC Universal Home Network went dark yesterday. Clue, originally named Sleuth when launched more than a decade ago, offered off-network and cable mystery and police dramas. Unlike Esquire Network, which will convert to a service available via smart TV sets and devices this spring, Clue is curtained permanently. And if you wonder what life would be like without a Sharknado movie on Sci-Fi this year, stop wondering. There will be one. Ready or not, Sharknado 5 is on the way with Ian Ziering and Tara Reid co-starring. Again, you've been served. And that's news notes for today. And now live with us from Atlanta, the co-creator, writer, and executive producer of 24 Legacy, starting this Sunday night on Fox, Manny Coto. Manny, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
You know, in all the publicity and all the press info about 24 Legacy, one question hasn't been asked, so I'll start with you on this. Why did you call this 24 Legacy?
Well, 24, the original 24, it happened in the wake of 9/11. It was basically the start of the war on terror. And where Legacy picks up is a soldier who has been fighting the war on terror and is now back home living a normal life. So in many ways, 24 Legacy is kind of the legacy of the original 24's war on terror, or what it depicted. This is kind of the aftermath. This is what happens in the wake of all of the turmoil that our country has gone through after 9/11.
And specifically, I understand that you were inspired, along with everyone else involved, to do this because of what the Navy SEALs did with taking out Osama bin Laden several years ago.
That's right. I had read several accounts of what happened in the aftermath, and the SEALs, a couple of them or several of them had to go into hiding, to some form of witness protection. And I remember at one point one of them was asked or was told that, we can get you a job as a truck driver. And that right there just, it suggested a really cool or interesting situation where, American heroes who have done this incredible thing now have to kind of vanish, blend into society in a place where nobody knows what they've done. And then the next logical step is, what if someone finds out who they are and they are targeted? Unfolding a conspiracy. So that was kind of the thought process that led to this season of 24.
Mm-hmm. You were part of the team that made 24 happen for 8 seasons on Fox, and probably part of the most challenging, high-wire, series in drama that may have ever been created. Because it was a program where, obviously, every episode is an hour of a day. You have to build on each episode. You have to build credibility. You have to make sure that things are plausible from episode to episode. Did you think at any point, why put myself through this again?
Well, you know, you like any project, you start off incredibly optimistic and excited and ready to go forward. But I guess, you know, around script three, when we're trying to figure out the plot for script three, yes, those questions did come to mind. Why did I do this to myself again? It was very, you know, those shows extremely difficult to write. It was, you know, the first incarnation, and it was also just a challenge. We had a staff of almost all executive producer level individuals who, you know, many of them are now on Homeland. And so it was a lot of brain power in that room coming up with these plots and these twists. And on Legacy, you know, we were faced with the same challenges, but with a whole new set of challenges, in that we were creating a whole new set of characters. So, yeah, I did ask myself that, and you know, fortunately, we're coming up on the end, so I can see the finish line.
Mm-hmm. Take us through how the main plot goes. For one thing, you introduce a character played by Corey Hawkins. Some people know him straight out of Compton. A lot of people, when they see this on Fox Sunday night, I think they're going to be very, very surprised. I really believe he's a breakout star this year, and believe it or not, I think on the basis of the first episode, he very well could be an Emmy nominee for Best Actor in a Drama.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, he's just tremendous, and we were very lucky to get him early on. We wrote the script, and we immediately started looking for someone who would fit this character, and we saw Straight Outta Compton, and it was we knew right then and there that he was perfect for this, and he read the script, said yes, and he was on board. So, it was a very, very kind of smooth process to get him on board, and it's been great working with him on the show. He's just tremendous, and I really think that if the show succeeds, it's going to be in large part because of him.
Mm-hmm. Take us through what his character goes through. He's a soldier. He is trying to readjust to life in the United States, and all of a sudden, he finds out that the members of his squad, one by one, have been killed.
Right. And so what happened, you know, and basically that plunges him into this conspiracy wherein we meet through his eyes the person who ran the original operation to kill Bin Khalid, the terrorist, and her name is Rebecca Ingram, and she runs CTU. And she is married to a character played by Jimmy Smits, and he is running for president. So all these characters now kind of clash and combine. And so Carter's is kind of entering this world of CTU for the first time. So we're seeing CTU through his eyes. He has basically been a soldier in the field. He is told his life has been all about where the enemy is, finding the enemy, killing the enemy. I don't really have to worry too much about why. But now he's faced with a situation where he has to understand why and what is going on, and he's actually encountering individuals who seem to be on our side but turn out to be as bad or worse than the enemy we're fighting. So it's really what you're seeing this season is the making of a CTU agent. Jack Bauer in season one was already a seasoned CTU agent. He was running CTU. And this Corey is a young man in his 20s and is inducted into this world. And so by the end of the season, we're going to see someone who may or may not become a permanent CTU agent. So it's really, we're seeing his journey from a soldier to someone who's seeing this entire new world open up, and also understanding and appreciating what it does to his life in the process, because, you know, he's married in this season, and like Jack Bauer, if you follow Jack Bauer, you know that being an agent has its toll. And so that's something that Corey Hawkins' character has to confront and accept.
Manny Cotto, who's writing and producing credits, include everything from The Outer Limits to Dexter. He is our live guest this half hour on Smarty Televised. He is the executive producer, the co-creator, and writer of 24 Legacy, which begins its run right after the Super Bowl on your local Fox station. In most cases, it will be 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. on the West Coast. So it's going to be live indeed both cases. And then the second episode is one night after. That's Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. May George is live from Atlanta this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, up the road a bit. Happy to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon, 2nd of February 2017. You have a question or comment from any, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Third of four episodes we are doing this week. We are back with you at this very hour tomorrow, and we're going to go back live to Atlanta, where, as we speak, we've got the ATV Fest going on. It's the first television festival of the year anywhere in the United States, and we will have one of the key people involved with it live from Atlanta. Her name is Andrea Reese Robb. She is the chair of the Savannah College of Art and Design, which has been running ATV Fest down there. This will be their fifth year doing it. It goes through the weekend. Andrea Reese Robb. She joins us live tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Manny, in terms of putting this together, you did a lot of science, before you did 24, you did a lot of science fiction, mystery, suspense programming. I'm wondering how all of that experience served you in doing 24 and then doing 24 Legacy.
Well, it's interesting. You know, there, when I was writing for Star Trek, you know, you're extrapolating in Star Trek. You're kind of envisioning a future, and envisioning, especially certainly when you're writing technology. Star Trek has famous for its like tech speak that you, that characters would say, and it's almost like a learning a musical code. You have to figure out how to say something in tech speak that sounds realistic, but that actually isn't. In 24, many times in dialogue, it's the same kind of thing. When you're writing CTU, you're approximating reality. And so you have to be able to kind of extrapolate what's present with what could be. And I found that many of the skills that I used in Star Trek, in writing Star Trek and science fiction, were also useful in 24. Because if you really think about it, 24, you know, is a little bit of this, it has a speculative fiction edge. It really it takes what's real and it exaggerates and extrapolates at the worst possible scenario.
By the way, your cast on this program is very diverse, and it seems that many of the characters are involved, there's a connecting point in some sort of transition or another. I mentioned Corey Hawkins, but I also want to mention Miranda Otto, who from Homeland, who plays the head of CE2, who's trying to transition out of there. Her husband, played, as you mentioned, by Jimmy Smith, is running for president, a transition there. We also have the brother of our hero, who's transitioning from the fact that he was in love with a girlfriend who becomes our hero's wife. Played beautifully, by the way, by Anna Diop. I want to talk more about her character in a second. But it just seems that if there's a connecting point to everybody, it's transition. Was it designed that way?
Yes, because you know, the real time nature of 24. You know, we want to take a character through a story, an arc, but when you really analyze it, I mean, in this situation, it's a 24 hour, it's a day. Each season is a day, and so for characters to actually move from one place to another emotionally and in the story, they have to very often already be in motion of some kind. Because you can't, for example, you can't have two characters meet and fall in love. I mean, realistically, I mean, because it would happen in a day. So that's why we tend to, you know, to create situations where the characters are moving from one place to another, or already in the process of it. And so, what the season kind of dramatizes is the small move, emotional move that pushes them to one side.
Mm-hmm. But it also seems that one of the, if there's a theme within the theme, too, it's like it's so tough to convert from one way you lived life to another. There's that scene midway through where Anna Diop's character, Nicole, the wife of our hero, Corey, has to go hide with his brother. And she tells his brother, you know, I always thought this person was like my husband suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, and I don't think he is. I think he doesn't want to give up being a soldier. He doesn't want to give up being who he once was. And again, it just seems that theme, at least in that first episode, is like over and over and over again. But it's Anna's character that sort of brings it out in the open.
Exactly. And that is a story that is played out to through the season. And in fact, the season is about unpacking that and unfolding that idea, the idea of, you know, can Carter has something inside of him that he himself is afraid of. And he had a little bit of an upbringing that was filled with some sort of turmoil. His brother was into gangs and he went into the military, but he starts to, you know, he wonders inside, is there, you know, is the same thing that drove me to pick up a gun when I was young that later drove me to pick up a gun and shoot different people when I was older, is that same thing going to be able to survive in a domestic environment at home? Can I actually live that way? And that's one of the things that he has to come to terms with through the season. So Anna Diop's monologue in the first episode really sets the stage for that story to play out.
Were you surprised that so many of the original people behind 24 are involved in Legacy in some capacity, whether it's Stephen Hopkins, one of the key directors who directed the first episode, John Cassar, the Emmy winner who did many of the other key episodes over the years, Sean Callery, who does the music, Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran, the creators, who are now executive consultants. It just seemed that it was amazing that so many of the people that made 24 happen and were able to keep it fresh and vibrant. Kiefer Sutherland also is an executive producer, too. Over that 8-year span, decided, hey, we can come back and reunite.
Yeah, we wanted, I mean, it's not really surprising to us because we went after them. I mean, we wanted Hopkins for the pilot, and we certainly wanted Sean Callery, whose music is so, you know, integral to the show, to come back, and Joel and Surnow and Bob were essential to have their input. It's not surprising. We all love the show. I think everybody really enjoys working on it. John Cassar as well. I mean, everybody's passionate about 24 and want to see it do as well as it can. And so we're a band and we like reuniting every once in a while. Hopefully we're not like the Rolling Stones where everybody's like, all right, it's time to get off the stage. But for now we're really enjoying ourselves.
Incidentally, Sean was on our program several years ago, and hearing and watching the first episode of Monday night here in New York, hint, hint, hint to the Emmy music people, give Sean another nomination. He earns it just off that first episode. It seems that the score he did, that first episode, was very soulful. I think it went beyond what he normally had done on the original. Your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. No, yes, absolutely. He was, you know, he's created a theme for Carter that is wonderful, that plays out in several places in the episode and continues throughout the season. There's a wonderful moment his music is even gets better and better as the season progresses, I think, in episode 2, 3, and 4, which we've mixed, and it really great. But there's a wonderful moment in episode 4 where Carter enters CTU for the first time. And you see it through his eyes, and he looks around, and he's taking all this in. And Sean just did this magnificent, magical moment, and turned it into a wonderful moment that echoes what he did in the pilot. So I just think he's on his best game this season, and we're very lucky.
Was there a sense also in doing the episode that there, one of the things you wanted to do was have the action, have the photography be more in your face? I noticed, at least in the first episode, there's more use of mini cams. I know GoPro cams were used. The action sequences are more really in your face. You're up close. It's like you are. It's like almost like virtual reality played out. You are right there.
Yeah, that Stephen Hopkins really designed it to be that way, to make the action, you know, immersive. You know, one of the things about 24, it's really, when you imagine it, we're really telling kind of outlandish, really wild stories, but the method that we're telling it is, you know, a handheld, very, you know, cinema verite and newsreel footage, like, so we're telling you, you know, it's a way of telling the story that makes you not only get inside of it, but really believe that it's happening. And Hopkins, I know, in the pilot, really wanted to up the ante on the action sequences, and he did use numerous GoPro and Mopies or whatever, I don't remember the name of the camera, but it's a version of a handheld camera. that has really worked out well.
24 Legacy, the new version of 24, begins this Sunday night right after the Super Bowl on Fox. In the East Coast, it should start around, all things willing, of course, with the Patriots and the Falcons this Sunday, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, which would also be 7 p.m. on the West Coast. So it will be live in terms of feed, both time zones and everywhere in between. And then Monday night, Episode 2 comes up at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Manny Coto is one of the co-creators and writers, along with his partner, Evan Capp. Which both were on the original 24, and he's also the executive producer as well. And he's with us live from Atlanta this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum live from New York with you on Blog Talk Radio. Great to have you with us on February 2nd of 2017. If you have a question or comment for Manny, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Early next week, Comedy Central premieres a new series. It's called The Twitters. It's about some folks who want to make it in Car City, USA. We've got the key executive producer and writer, Zach Cannon, will be joining us. And then next Sunday night, Girls starts its fifth and final season on HBO. We've got the actor who plays Ray on that program, Alex Kapowski. He will be with us live, and you can call the chat room in. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And 1 week from tomorrow on the program, among our guests, National Public Radio TV critic and Peabody Award board member and judge, Eric Deegan, second time on the program. He is one of the foremost people covering TV, and especially diversity on TV. That is all coming up next Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Be with us right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Manny, in terms of putting this together and the fact that you've got one of the prized time periods to start this, the Super Bowl, was there added pressure to make the first episode be as best as it could be?
Oh, well, there's always that pressure. I mean, we made the first episode before we knew we were going on after the Super Bowl. I mean, we made that the last year, and we knew it had to be, you know, as good as it can be, because we were, you know, launching a brand new character, a brand new phase of this franchise. And, you know, it wasn't until we tested it in front of an audience and got reactions and the network really saw that we had something really good here that we ended up in front of the Super Bowl. But that pressure is always there for everything, you know, we do on 24. It's like making each episode as good as it can be. We do a lot of, you know, rewriting. We're constantly tearing apart scripts and very often reshooting things that didn't come out the way we wanted them. So that is, you know, the process of making 24 is very difficult, and it hasn't really changed that much. But we, you know, the pressure was there, certainly. We knew this had to be good.
And let's put people at ease. Some of the things that people would expect from 24 are back, the beeps, before and after the commercial breaks, the split screens, the beginning with the 24, the clock, and, of course, that wonderful voice saying the following takes place between such and such.
Right. We wanted all that. I mean, we felt that's part of the franchise. We're introducing, you know, a whole new world in for this season. But, you know, those elements we think are what make, you know, 24 in part. And we felt it's important to have them there for continuity's sake.
What has delighted you and everybody involved the most about pulling this off?
Say that again?
Yeah, what has delighted you and Evan and everybody else involved about pulling this off, about in a way trying to not just expand what 24 did and did so well for such a long period of time, but sort of taking it to the next level?
So you're saying, what has delighted us?
Yes.
Well, I mean, honestly, one of the big delights is Corey Hawkins just creating this new character and finding a new point of view through this series. That's been our biggest, most exciting find in the season, and also kind of exploring different stories that we haven't really gone before. There's more of a crime angle to this season that we haven't done before. And there's a high school story that really kind of mirrors, you know, characters that are loosely based on the Boston bombing individuals who are playing kind of a terrorism story there. So Corey was a big inspiration for us. And then it allowed us to kind of, you know, move into other areas that we haven't quite gone.
Before we go, I also want to mention Ashley, who plays his brother, who I also thought gave a wonderful performance, as well as the high school students Keep your eye on both of these students. I think they give some really interesting performances. I was left with, I'd love to see where this plot goes.
Yeah, it's got a pretty shocking, exciting ending. And Ashley is particularly great. And you know, I know you mentioned earlier transition. You find out later in the season that Ashley's character is also in transition, that he's trying to get out of this world that he's in. And what happens during the season helps push him in one certain direction.
24 Legacy. If you are a 24 fan, I think you're going to love The Next Level. And if you haven't been part of 24 from the get-go earlier when it's during its run on Fox, give it a try after the Super Bowl. Stick around afterward. I think you're going to be very, very impressed. And like I said earlier, I think you may have Mr. Hawkins get an Emmy Award nomination, and he may not be the only one that may be up for some Emmys later this year. 24 Legacy premieres this Sunday night right after the Super Bowl on your local Fox station, 10 p.m. approximately Eastern Time, 7 p.m. on the West Coast. Then the second episode, one night later, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific for everybody. Again, check your local listings to the Fox station in your area. For more details about the program online, go to www.fox.com. That's www.fox.com. And once again, I really want to really congratulate Sean Callahan coming back for the music. He was on our show several years ago. Wonderful composer. I think he may also be up for an Emmy Award, too, for this terrific score. And I think all you need is one episode, and I think you'll know. Yeah, any people in the music category, get that person another nomination. Manny Cotto, thank you so much for coming aboard. Congratulations on getting 24 back and booming. Looking forward to the run on Fox, and all the very best to your cast and crew for a great, great run, and maybe, who knows, maybe even more adventures down the road.
Thank you very much. It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Manny. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Manny Cotto, executive producer, co-creator, and writer of 24 Legacy, beginning this Sunday on Fox. More Tomorrow Televised coming your way after a little message from the fine folks at Audible.com. Well, are you interested in some of the interesting entrepreneurs that are really making it big of late? People like the folks behind Uber, Tesla, Airbnb, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's a wonderful new book out now called The Upstart. It's written by Brad Stone about how the people made folks like Uber and Airbnb and other unique enterprises disrupt and run so well, what they're up to and what makes them tick. And guess what? You don't have to go to a bookstore to get The Upstart. You can get it by just listening and taking, well, Audible.com into account. Audible.com is where you can find The Upstart and many, many more wonderful books for your listening pleasure. And all you have to do is sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. Audible is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. Over 180,000 titles you can choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you sign up at that URL, audibletrial.com/televised. You can get one free audiobook of your choice and a one-month trial and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So remember, if you want a great sound experience that can last a lifetime, go to this homepage and make it happen. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. And find out for yourself why Audible.com is the best digital sound experience all around. Remember, we will be having our Classic Trivia Question of the Week back on Monday at Barrett House from New York, New York was our first win of the year this past Monday, so we're going to wait till next Monday to spring another question on you. So listen for the question next Monday, and if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your mailing address, and you might win a prize if you're first with the correct answer. If you come in late, miss the question, don't worry. I will post that on my Facebook page and on my Twitter hashtag at Jimmy C. Simon, TWBT. That's Jimmy C. Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So be in it. And all the very best. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program about television. There are the four episodes we are doing this week live on Blog Talk Radio. We're only on Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on this very, very web place. And coming up tomorrow, we go back to Atlanta, where ATV Fest is happening in Hotlanta. We will have one of the key people who made this festival happen, going into its fifth year today, and that is Andre Reeve Robb. She is the head of the Savannah College of Art and Design, which puts that festival on every year, first TV festival of 2017. And she'll be with us live from Atlanta. That's tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televised. And next Friday, among our guests, National Public Radio TV critic and Peabody Award judge and board member, Eric Deegans. That's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. When we come back, believe it or not, Facebook is gunning for a major role in television. We'll tell you all about it after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio in the universe, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the broadcast. Catch Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen Thursdays, 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you can catch the best of VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com and also at the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, buy it at your local Apple store or order it online. Welcome back to Tomorrow We Televise for a Thursday afternoon of 2017. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. 45 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you still have a question of Commodore TV's and where it's going, we'd love to hear. So give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Believe it or not, about 7-8 years ago, Facebook and Twitter were available on your television set if you had Verizon Fios TV. And in fact, in many places where there's a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, NVIDIA Shield, Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, Facebook can show up on your TV. And so can Twitter. And I mention this because yesterday, after we went off the air, Facebook gave its latest quarterly result. A great one. Beat the estimates. Handily. But it was what Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg said afterward, plus the Wall Street Journal report that came out later, that really turned some heads. Because here's what Mark Zuckerberg had to say in a nutshell. We are going to make a major play in television. We are becoming video first. It's probably all that Facebook Live action going on of late, including Facebook Live ads on a number of TV programs. But here's the thing. Facebook wants to be a YouTube, maybe even a Netflix. They want to showcase and maybe even create original episodic content and get it through your smart TV or smart TV device. Now, Zuckerberg didn't give a timetable when this would happen. And in fact, there's even been reports that Facebook might even create a set-top box to or a plug-in device to deliver all that content. But Mr. Z made it clear, we are getting into television, and we are getting into it big time. And I have a hunch that with people like YouTube from Google trying to do more with terms of original content with YouTube Red, which is now past its first year on the air, and Apple TV, of course, lurking in the world to do original content, a lot maybe of an episodic scripted nature, that Facebook might be getting into this earlier than we all think, one way or another. And Facebook's got the dough to make it happen. They got the money. They got the backing. And as Jim Cramer said yesterday on CNBC's Squawk on the Street, Facebook has the eyeballs. 150 million people watching Facebook worldwide all over the place. As he sort of said, Facebook is the razor. The content or anything else they want to do with it are the razor blades. So there certainly is an impetus. But something else about what Mr. Z had to say yesterday had something in my mind, too, which is Mr. Z is the latest person to make it clear that smart TV sets and smart TV devices are increasingly becoming the way that people are watching Facebook, that people are watching Twitter, that people are watching Hulu and Amazon and Crackle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And for all the talk about mobile phones and nothing derogatory, folks, about smartphones and tablets, they have their space. They certainly have their apps. But we are becoming more and more a converged society where any application, any piece of content, any program can be showcased at any given time in any platform. And that includes television. And for all the talk that millennials are not watching TV, they're doing more with their smartphone tablets, au contraire, they are watching television. They have not given up the TV habit. They have not cut the cord. They are watching a lot of good stuff on the TV set. And it's great to see that people like Mr. Z are taking notice. So I have a very strong hunch that sooner rather than later, you are going to see a lot more original programming on Facebook. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of originals, unscripted or scripted or live, that this wonderful web vehicle does. Yes, folks, If you take into consideration what I said yesterday about ATSC 3.0 and what it could do for television stations who also want to become multi-platform content providers, you take the two hand in hand, and yes, we are more and more becoming a connected, converged world. And that is tremendous news. Again, thank you to Manny Cotto, however you want to say it, from 24 Legacy, from joining us this afternoon live from Atlanta. And we're going to be back in Atlanta tomorrow afternoon on 3 p.m. Eastern in Pacific, when I'll be joined by one of the key organizers of ATV Fest. It's the first television festival of the year taking place in that area, and that is Andra Reeve Robb from the Savannah College of Art and Design. It's their fifth year. It started today. We'll join them on day two. And then next Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, we'll kick it off with Zach Keenan. He is the executive producer and writer of Detroiters, the new Comedy Central series that premieres next Tuesday night. And next Sunday, Girls gets back on HBO for its fifth and final season. We've got one of the co-stars, Al Sapkowski, who plays Ray. That's all coming up next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it very easy for you. Just go to our homepage anytime, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can also check us out on podcast at iTunes.com, or if you have Apple TV, the iTunes podcast app. Either way, you can download us to your smartphone or your tablet. You can take us on the go when you travel. You can also send it along to other friends you like and let them know. Incidentally, I want to thank everybody for the great reaction already this month to our replays, more than 340 so far in our first day, and they're still coming in. And that's on top of more than 2,000 that took place over the course of last month, the first month of 2017. So thank you all for that. Keep up the sharing, and be with us live. The show gets better when you do. So remember, take down this number. Even if you can't catch our show live, you can still participate while we're on the air. Take down this number, 646-652-2906. Take down the chat room, SimonApple04. It's at blogtalkradio.com/televised. And be live with our program anytime that we are on the air. Also, you can check us out in the New York area every Monday on BK Live. It's the daily noon hour of all things Brooklyn and beyond, news, lifestyle, culture, and a Tomorrow We Televise segment as well. Joining me, by the way, this coming Monday will be Marcy Weisler of Queen Brooks, the popular show about female entrepreneurs that started a couple weeks ago on Centric, the BET spin-off channel. She will join me live in the studio. We'll talk about how Queen Brooks is doing and also about her company, SWSI Media, that is trying to make a big difference via media for female entrepreneurs, particularly female entrepreneurs of color. Monty Weisler, this coming Monday from noon to 1, right here on BK Live. You can find it on Brick TV. It's available throughout New York City on Verizon Fios, throughout Brooklyn, Manhattan on Charter Spectrum, and throughout Brooklyn on Cablevision Systems and RCN. It's also repeated after its initial telecast at 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. on Monday. And then segments, including ours, go on YouTube.com/BrickTV. It's YouTube.com/BrickTV. Our latest segment, by the way, has already had more than 200 views across the country. So we really appreciate all of you out there checking it out on YouTube. Remember, we love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? What do you think about our guest from 24 Legacy and what he and his fellow folks are up to starting Sunday night on Fox? We want to hear. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from. I do respond to emails in 24 hours. That's how you get involved with our class trivia question of the week. It's also how you get involved in our regular feature, A Show to Know. If it's a TV show you like that you think deserves more attention from all of us, well, let me know. We'll make sure you get the attention, and we give you the credit for it along the way. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. We always appreciate what you have to say because what you say matters. So raise your voice, let us know, we respond. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toad, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, for a free audiobook and a 30-day trial of what Audible.com offers 24/7, go to this URL and make it happen. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com, an Amazon company. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Scott Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday. We are back tomorrow with the folks from ATV Fest back in Atlanta. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. As always, be safe and be great out there. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.